Welcome to the Everesting Podcast, built by Corey. This episode, I am going to read some excerpts from a reader email regarding the Everesting Rome episode that I did with Sir Guy Lightspeed, Guy Townsend. I received some awesome feedback, some very thoughtful and comprehensive emails from some listeners. So I really, really appreciate that and going to dive into a couple of points about that. I do have some recorded episodes coming out with some guests soon, so we're just getting some things organized scheduling-wise, so bear with us. We'll have some guest episodes coming out very, very soon in the coming weeks, and want to give everybody a reminder before we get onto this episode about the full gas mass Everesting that is available to you for free. If there's a free trial, go into two episodes ago. We have a link in the show notes for that challenge. You can do a virtual Everesting on multiple hills on full gas. It's a really, really cool challenge that Andy has dreamed up for everybody and collaborated with Full Gas and Hout Root for. So very, very cool. That is coming up February 17th through 19th. You can do quarter Everestings, full Everestings, or half Everestings during that challenge. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by the State Bicycle Company, who you can visit at statebicycle.com. And they have an offer for you right now that we want to pass along. That is to use code AUDIO23. So AUDIO, the numbers 23, which will give you 23% off your order with State right now, off of already incredible value. So bikes, parts, apparel, visit them at statebicycle.com. On to this follow-up episode with some listener feedback on the Everesting Rome. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the podcast. I wanted to do a quick episode for everyone who has been listening and to a couple of things, some follow-up notes on the Everesting Rome episode, the Everesting Rome 10K challenge episode that I did with Sir Guy Lightspeed, which was a really fun conversation. I want to have a guy back on the show to follow up more on it too, but there's been a number of things that have come out from listeners communicating with me via Instagram and by sending me emails. And if you want to send me an email about this topic or anything else, you can reach me at podcast@everesting.com. But received some really, really good feedback. Some people who were really excited to hear about the Rome being highlighted in that way, and some interesting suggestions about it. So first of all, thank you everybody who reached out about it. One really excellent point that was brought up to me more than once by a couple of different listeners, which I think is really, really good, and I want to get into first. A guy and I were talking about the Rome being more interesting in the context of it being a loop route or an out and back route, and to either not have any repeats or to really minimize the number of repeats that you might need to do it, to make it less like an Everesting challenge, essentially, and to try and imagine your Rome as a minimum 400 kilometers, minimum 10,000 meters, but then just imagine it beyond just mindlessly doing repeats on one or multiple hills. There is actually a really intriguing third option that we didn't discuss and I hadn't considered that a couple of listeners pointed out, and I think it's a really good option and might increase the number of available potential Rome routes. And what that is to do loops. So maybe you have a loop that is approximately 100 kilometers and approximately 2,500 meters, and you could do that four times, or however the math works out for three loops, two loops, etc. That is more intriguing than repeats for sure, especially if it was a relatively long route or a loop that you could do that would maybe be almost half and half, so 200 plus kilometers and 5,000 meters if you could do that twice, and if you had a point in between where you could have your rest and reset and maybe a bit of a sleep. So a third potential intriguing format there, especially if it was worthy, right? Low vehicle traffic, etc. I think Guy made a really, really good point in the episode that we recorded regarding off pavement roams, and that the 36 hours makes it really tough and would probably limit that to really smooth and fast gravel courses or people with really exceptionally high aerobic abilities to keep pounding or to essentially forego the sleep, because you're just going to lose so much average speed on a gravel or a mountain bike course. But because of the broadness of the rules, there's really only three time, mileage minimum, and altitude minimum. Because of those things, you could mix up surfaces potentially, right? You could have a day where you maybe did 250 kilometers and 6,000 meters on the road, and then you did a second route on after a sleep and a break on a gravel bike or a mountain bike. So I've had a couple of listeners point out that, and I think that those are really, really good points and definitely broadens my horizons on what you could potentially do. Especially I live in Western Canada. We don't pave roads very high. I've mentioned that on the podcast before, not very steep usually, but we have a lot of things that open up once we start to look at gravel or potentially mountain bike routes. So I thought that was a really, really good point, and I wanted to acknowledge the listeners who reached out to me about that. One listener in particular reached out named Philip Rotes, and I want to read a little bit of what Philip wrote to Guy and I that I thought was just really worthy of mentioning on the podcast and giving you a little bit about what he had to say about it. He just absolutely, first of all, acknowledges how much he loves the Rome and loved that episode and that we got into that. So that's pretty cool. He says, Phil says, thanks so much for the recent podcast episode with Sir Guy Lightspeed highlighting the Rome. I read all of his stuff when Everesting first seized my attention in 2021. He's a treasure. Completely agree, Phil. Guy is amazing, and he has meant a whole lot to the Everesting community and me. Totally value him being able to spend time with me on the podcast. He brings a depth of knowledge to this and just ultra endurance cycling that is invaluable. So Phil goes on to say, I find the Rome more interesting and complex of a challenge than Everesting. I agree. And extraordinarily underexposed compared to the traditional 88, 48 meter format. I also agree. I think that the Rome Guy and I talked about that. It goes right back to the very origins of Hell's 500 and Andy, and it can be done really creatively in different ways. Well, I initially admired the folks doing the 88-48. It was the Rome that made me a participant in the Everesting community. Since you asked for folks to write in about it, I'm happy to do so. I've been kind of obsessed with the Rome and have a number of potential routes mapped on Strava on the east coast of the United States. So that's where Phil lives. I suspect one way to supercharge interest in the Rome would be for high-profile Everesting folks like Phil Guyman or Ronan McLaughlin to take it up and document their planning and execution. I have never had the pleasure of speaking to Phil Guyman, but I have had the pleasure of speaking to Ronan McLaughlin on multiple occasions, and I am going to bring this up to him. So Phil goes on to say, but that probably requires having an officially recognized fastest Rome as a target so riders contest creators of their caliber and visibility and have a world record to focus and reward the investment of their time. So another really good point I think that Phil makes here, there is a lot of really inconsistent times that probably don't make sense in the Hall of Fame, and it's not easy to categorize it that way. So as Phil points out here, yet when I go through the Everesting Hall of Fame, it is surprisingly difficult to identify the fastest Rome. Some of the qualifying times seem to have been from ultra events or super randonneurs covering either more distance or involving more vertical. And the Hall of Fame time is based on a full ride file, not the moment when the rider surpasses the 400 kilometers and 10,000 meter criteria. So that's another really good point, right? So how do we're saying like a Rome can stop at 400 or 10,000 meters or at 36 hours, right? So I guess you'd need to define those two distinctions, because you could be well over the 400 and 10,000 meters if you were going to continue on to your 36 hours, as does riding in groups, of course, or even with one other person. So significant differences there. So I think very, very good points though, and it is very simple in the Hall of Fame to categorize how people have performed their Everestings on various hills and regions and those types of things. So Andy, if you're listening, if there's any way to create some clarity around the Rome and how people have actually performed on it, I think that would also, I agree with Phil, our listener email here, that would bring additional attention to the Rome. So he goes on to describe a number of Rome attempts and has provided me with some really potentially cool routes that he has planned out. So thank you to Phil, and thanks to a number of other listeners who have sent me routes, Australia, Europe. Haven't seen anything from Canada. Canadian listeners, if you can come up with a really cool Rome route in Canada, I sure want to see that. But we've heard from the United States and Colombia as well. So thank you everybody who reached out about it. So the last point that Phil makes in his email here is roams and repeats. So he goes on to say, the last thing I want to tag here is repeats. Your conversation with Sir Guy Lightspeed touched on this a couple of times. The idea that, while technically permitted in a rome, really should not include repetition. I am at 99% in agreement. If you want to ride hill repeats, do a traditional Everesting. So I'll pause there for a moment. I mean, ultimately, it's your rome. So if you're planning an Everesting rome and you want to include repeats or multiple repeats, which I've considered doing on different hills because I could accomplish it close to home, it's your adventure. Do it. Guy and I were only speaking through the lens of what we find intriguing about the rome. So Phil goes on to say, but on my two rome attempts across 10,000 meters map routes, my head unit came in, it goes on to say, short, lower than Strava map estimates. So I have a lot of empathy for riders that get to the end of their mapped slash planned routes, but require more vertical. I've chatted with a rider or two in the Facebook group who rode up and down a slope near the parking lot at the end of their route to make their Garmin read 10,000 meters. I have a little grace in my heart for hill repeats of this sort. But as a principle of Andy's validation of Rome's, allowing for only these kinds of late stage top up repeats might be thorny to adjudicate. So, I mean, I do agree with that, but I think that you make an excellent point. It's a point, you can see it in the Facebook group, you can see it in people who reach out to Guy, people who've emailed the podcast. People are concerned about device recordings and versus Strava mapping and stuff. So yes, I could not agree more with Phil's assertion that if you have a nice steep hill toward the end of your ride and you feel like you need to quote unquote top up your elevation gain and your timing allows you to do so, I think that makes excellent sense. And I don't think that it takes away from the spirit of the Rome in any way to try and avoid repeats. You're doing it to make a device read a certain number. It's not about how you've planned it out. So that's it, everybody. Thank you so much for reaching out and telling me about your Rome. I'd love to hear more. We have a large capacity for absorbing this information. So please continue to reach out to both Guy and I. Again, it's Everesting. It's a podcast at everesting.com is where you can reach me directly. If there's like something that you'd like us to focus on the podcast, hit us up. Love to hear from you. Everybody, thank you for listening. And we will be back with some guest episodes really, really soon. If you're able to like or subscribe to the podcast on whatever platform you're finding it, that helps us grow our audience.